She's actually pulled it off, Abraham Jevons thought. My God, she's actually pulled it off. Or at least she had so far, he reminded himself. It was still possible the wheels would come off, but as he'd watched the caravan of massive, snow lizard-drawn sleighs sliding over the icy high road, it had become obvious that his initial concerns about Angelic Ponda's safety had been just a trifle premature. In many respects, the timing on Angelic's escape from Zion could hardly have been better. This late in the winter, with the roads and ground frozen iron hard, it was actually easier to move heavy loads overland over snow and ice aboard properly designed sleighs, assuming the availability of draft animals like Safeholdian snow lizards, than to move them aboard wheeled wagons during the fall or early winter, and much easier than it would be once the spring thaw began in another month or so. In fact, in some ways, it was easier even than it would have been in summer. And it was a damn good thing that was true, too. Despite the existence of scores of warehouses, granaries, and supply depots in Zion, by this point in the winter, the city was always in desperate need of resupply. Regular freight shipments were always bound into Zion and the temple, except for the month or so each year when weather completely isolated the city. Now that the freeze had set hard enough and deep enough, the delivery tempo had been steadily increasing for several 5 days, despite the winter storms which had recently howled their way across the northern temple lands. And just as movement into the city had picked up, so had movement out of the city, including a large convoy from Brewster freight haulers. There was a fair amount of general merchandise in it, including several hundred bottles of fine brandies and whiskies. Personally, Jevons found the Chisomian whiskies superior to anything coming out of Zion, but there was no denying the prestige of the Zion and Temple distilleries. Whether they were actually the finest spirits available or not, which they definitely were not in his humble opinion, they commanded exorbitant prices purely on the strength of their labels. In addition to the spirits, however, there were also crates of books from Zion's publishing houses, somewhere around a 250,000 marks worth of religious art, and a consignment of fine jewelry which was probably at least equally valuable. Most of the other freight consisted of relatively low-weight, though often quite bulky, items, like an impressive assortment of tapestries, fine carpets, and woven luxury goods from the church's flocks of sheep and mountain lizards. But even many of those were high-value commodities, and security was always a significant concern in cases like that, which explained why so many of Brewster freight hauler's sleighs were built around large, sturdy, thickly planked cargo boxes. They were almost as large, in some cases, as freight containers Nemu Albin had seen loaded aboard starships during her naval career. And of course, they had been locked and securely sealed by gimlet-eyed customs agents before they ever departed Zion. Every item aboard them had been meticulously checked, according to the paperwork, at least. And in fact, they had been checked just as thoroughly as they always were. Which was to say the customs agents had examined the manifests, found Jaspar Clinton's bailiff listed as one of the shippers, and promptly sealed the sleigh's cargo boxes just as officially as anyone could possibly have asked. In their doubtless commendable zeal to speed Vicar Jaspar's property on its way, however, a few small irregularities appeared to have escaped their alert attention. Specifically, it would seem they'd failed to note that six of the larger sleighs were equipped, in addition to the carefully locked and sealed hatches through which their valuable cargoes had been loaded, with small, oddly unobtrusive belly hatches as well. Cargo doors which, for some unknown but undoubtedly sound reason, had been designed so that they could be reached only by someone who actually got down on his hands and knees, or for most adults on his belly, and crawled under the sleighs between the runners. The hatches through which over 50 fugitives from the Inquisition had entered those sleighs. It wasn't the most convenient mode of travel ever invented, but the sleighs' cargo boxes were thick-walled and weather-tight. The passenger-carrying cubbies hidden away inside them were large enough to accommodate mattresses and bedrolls and allow at least some movement, and they were surrounded and thoroughly concealed by rugs and tapestries, by piles of expensive Zion-made blankets and other big-ticket textiles. In fact, the people hidden away inside those cubbyholes were warmer than anyone else in the entire convoy. And once they were at least a couple of days away from Zion, they'd been allowed to leave their hiding places after the sleighs had halted for the night and mingle unobtrusively, very unobtrusively, with the Brewster drovers and wagoneers, who, alas, were not unaccustomed to seeing the occasional unmanifested face turn up on journeys such as this one.